Log Talk Radio.
Becca?
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire.
Hi, Becca.
Radio.
I am the
Oh, hello there, and it's Annette Densham with the Publicity Genie Show. We're up to episode 5, and I hope that everybody had a really great holiday break and that you're well rested and ready to start 2017 firing on all cylinders. So what does that mean for you, firing on all cylinders? How are you going to kick off this year and make it the best one ever? And really, what does making it the best one ever really mean? So for me, it just means ramping it up and doing a little bit more than I did last year and making sure that whatever it is that I'm going to achieve will just be fantastic. So how are you going with your planning this year? I think it's really important that you're sitting down and you're making sure that you've got some really firm plans that you're working towards over 2017. Now, I've got the amazing Rebecca McGregor joining us today, just having a few little technical problems. I can't hear her, so we're just going to have a bit of a chat about what it is that she's doing while we try to get her back online. So I have the absolute privilege of working with Rebecca. She works with Publicity Genie as my PR partner, and she's just an absolutely amazing PR person. But that's not her only skill and her only talent. She is a Kindle publishing expert and a digital nomad. Have you ever heard of a digital nomad? When she told me that, it was like, that sounds really quite cool. And what that means is that wherever she has a laptop and wherever she is, she can be working across the country. It doesn't matter what that is, where it is, how it is, as long as she's got that laptop and an internet connection, she can do whatever it is that she needs to do. How does that sound? Has anyone else ever thought of just packing up and heading off to whatever country it is that you feel like and go and work from there? Have you thought about it? It sounds really kind of cool. So Rebecca and her husband left the UK, which I imagine is pretty cold right about now, and moved to Bangkok about 2 months ago. And they've been travelling around there in northern Thailand for about 7 weeks, and they're there till February, and then they're moving on to Vietnam where they're going to stay for about 3 months. And then she doesn't know. I know she's coming to visit me in Australia, so I'm very, very lucky that that's happening. So I'm really looking forward to that. So I know, as someone who works my own business, working from home gives me incredible freedoms. So it means that, you know, I can get up, I can go to work in my pajamas if I want to, and nobody would know if I was in my pajamas. So what do you do when you work from home? Does anybody know that you've got your pajamas on or you haven't quite brushed your hair yet? I think it's kind of cool that we can do that and we can just make our creative geniusness and do it from home. But imagine doing that from another country. And I wonder if you can do that if you've got kids, whether that restricts you or not. I'd be really interested to know if you're a virtual nomad or a digital nomad and you're traveling around and you're doing what you need to do from wherever it is that you are. So if you want to call in today, hopefully I've no technical problems and can get your call. The number's 646-716-7979. I'd really love to hear from you and about how you manage your work-life balance. I think that in this day and age, it's just really, really important to be able to have that flexibility. Let's see if I can get Rebecca back on. Rebecca, can you hear me? Hello, Rebecca. I can hear something in the background, folks. Can you hear something? Rebecca, are you there? I still can't hear her. So we'll keep trying to get Rebecca on the line. And hopefully she'll be able to join us very, very soon because she's got an absolutely amazing story. Let's see what we can do. Isn't it the wonders of, we're talking about the wonders of technology, and sometimes they let us down.
Talk Radio. Please hold and you'll be able to listen to the show.
Rebecca, can you hear me? Rebecca, can you hear me? I know she's trying to get through. Rebecca. Hey, Rebecca. I will keep trying. And Rebecca. All right, she's going to keep trying because when you work in the world of PR, you know what you don't do? You never, ever give up. And I know Rebecca's not a quitter, so I know that she'll keep trying to get through to me. And if we can't get her on this show, I'll definitely make sure we have her back on the next show because the story's really worth hearing about. There's something about that moving around that's in her blood now, and she's doing some really cool things because I think now in this day and age, you really don't have to just stick to one thing, do you? You can stick to, you can have a few feathers in your cap. Have I got you now, Rebecca? Hey, Rebecca. Rebecca. I can hear something in the background, people. All right, still having those technical problems. Thank goodness we're not bringing a plane into the airport. We'd be in big trouble. So let's go back to talking about planning. One of the things that I found really works for me when I'm planning my, and I don't try to plan too far in advance. So I've got an idea over the 12 months, the things that I want to achieve. So I've got a war planner, and who's heard of the rocks, pebbles, and sand? There's a story and it goes, you know, you get a jar and you put into that your rocks. So they're the really important things that you've got in your life. So that might be family events, holidays. Don't forget to put your holidays in. It's really, really important that you take time out for yourself. So if you don't do that, that's where burnout happens. And when you're an entrepreneur or in business for yourself, burning out is something that you don't want to happen because who's going to keep your business going? Like you can't if you're sick and you're worn out and you're stressed out. So one of those rocks really has to be holidays. You've got to take holidays. So those rocks, fill them up, do the really important stuff with this, the stuff for you. And maybe if you're on workshops, put in those dates. So they're your pebbles. So pop in those dates of your workshops, your seminars, your webinars, your meetings, you know, things that you need that are important to building your business and, you know, making some money. Because after all, that's why we're in business, isn't it? We're in there to make a little bit of money. Well, hopefully a lot of money. And then the sand. So they're the bits that, you know, are negotiable, that you can move around, that, you know, and I use a pencil in my diary. And it doesn't mean that I'm afraid of committing to events. It's just that I know life changes. And sometimes you have to move things around. You know, if you've got children, kids get sick, you get sick, cars break down, things happen at home. Sometimes we double book, triple book. And it's really important to remember that we're just human beings and sometimes we make mistakes and that there's no such thing as perfect. I know for all you people out there who are perfectionists, you're probably cringing and going, what do you mean there's no such thing as perfect? There is no such thing as perfect, let me tell you. Absolutely not. So once you've got your rocks, your pebbles and your sand, I go and put them into my wall planner. So I can see at a glance what I've got coming up. Now, I've learnt this the hard way. So I've been in business 4 years. And, you know, I've made a few mistakes. I've stuffed things up. I've upset people. Not that I would do that deliberately, but like I said, I'm human. So on my wall planner, in my office, I can look up and go, this is what I'm doing. So I know for the next 12 months when my workshops are, and I know where my holidays are, and I know where my kids' birthdays are. And like, oh my goodness, don't feel bad if you don't acknowledge everybody's birthday on Facebook because, you know, I've got, I don't know, 2,000 friends on Facebook, and I use air quotes when I say friends because they're not all friends. Some of them are acquaintances, people that I've met, you know, walking around, going to networking, you know, connecting, people who've just come across me on Facebook. And, you know, every day, don't you, you've got people popping up who've got birthdays. You can't remember everybody's. As long as you remember your families, that's all that matters. As long as you remember them and your own, you've got to remember your own birthday. Okay, so got my wall planner. So for the next 3 months, I will then nut down and work out exactly what I'm going to achieve in that three-month period. So this is a really important, this is my first quarter of the year, because during that first quarter of the year, I'm going to make sure that I work out what works and what doesn't work for me. So part of this planning will also include my marketing and my PR. How are people going to know about what it is that I'm doing? Who is it that I'm speaking to? We talked about this in last episode. I went through and talked about the importance of PR. But given that we're at the start of the year now, I think it's, you know, time for the rubber to hit the road. And if you don't know what that means, I think that's a very Aussie saying. It means it's time to get serious. I'm going to give Rebecca another go now. Rebecca, have I got you? Oh, she's there, people. I can see her. I just can't hear her. I'm going to leave a line open. Rebecca, if you jump in and you can hear me, just start talking. Interrupt me. It's okay. We're just talking about planning and getting ready for 2017. So there are, I use Kiki K, which is a planner brand, and it's got lots of inserts, so it means that I can swap and change, and take things out if I need to and add things in if necessary, because it's got a whole heap of accessories which are really quite cool. But it's got a monthly planner and then it's got a weekly planner. So I always know where I'm at, what appointments I have. Because as I said, I've often double booked myself, triple booked myself, because I like to say yes. Sometimes that's not such a good thing in business. You can't always go yes. Rebecca, have I got you? Oh, I can hear you. I can hear something, but I can't hear you. Oh, people, I really want you to hear from Rebecca. She's just got such an amazing story. Don't give up. It's all part of being that free soul. You just need to keep trying. So back to planning. So I also use a spreadsheet. Now, it's a template, and I use the same template for all of my clients. I just make sure that I clear it because the basic concepts of PR is the same. Becca. The basic concepts are the same because when you sit down and I look at my business and I go, what is it that I'm doing this year? So I'm launching an online program, a membership-based program, so it's 12 months. So I need to get people into that. So I need to put into my planning when I'm going to do my marketing for that. So I'm going to do webinars. What date am I going to do webinars? What time? And then what platforms am I going to use to promote my webinars? So where does my audience live? My audience lives on Facebook. Well, hopefully not living on Facebook. Poor old Rebecca. She can't hear me and I can't
hear
her.
Hello, can
you
hear me, Nat?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Becca. Oh, we're getting so close, I can hear her now. It's like, you have to laugh, don't you? Because if you don't laugh, you'll go into tizzies of stress and panic. And we're not doing that today. We're not doing that ever. So I know where my audience lives. So I'll do my promotion on Facebook. I'll do some on Twitter because I know that I've got followers there. And I'll also do some promotion on LinkedIn because I've built quite a few followers on my LinkedIn platform. So that's my online program. I also wrote a book last year. So I want to continue to sell that book. So I factor that into my planning for the year. Is where am I going to market that book? And how often am I going to do those promotions? So I make sure that's all in my spreadsheet. So I'll have my spreadsheet down January through to December, and across the top I'll have all the different things, the tools, the platforms that I can use. Okay, Becca can hear me. Can I hear Rebecca?
Hi, Nat.
Rebecca, hello.
Hi.
How exciting. Oh, my goodness. I'm just telling everybody what an amazing, persistent person you are, and that I've been sitting here talking to myself for almost 20 minutes and you're finally on, and that's amazing. How are you?
Yes, I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. Well, I've given you an introduction, but I'm going to reintroduce you because people might have forgotten after I've finished having my gas bag. So Rebecca McGregor, as I told you, is my PR partner. She works with Publicity Genie and does the legwork. She's the magic behind the business. So she makes sure that the clients are out there being promoted. So she's really, really good at that. But she's also a Kindle publishing expert and a digital nomad. So about 2 months ago, Rebecca and her husband packed up, left gloomy old England, and have gone to the tropical Asian countries. She's in Bangkok. You're in Thailand now. Welcome, Rebecca. Thank you so much for persisting.
That's okay. So we're in Chiang Mai at the moment, which is in the northern Thailand. It's got a really great community. So it's kind of the reason why we headed up this way.
Because of the cold?
No. In Chiang Mai itself is a digital nomad hub spot. So we thought it would be best to, you know, immerse ourselves into that sort of community and learn from everybody else that's been living a similar life for a lot longer than we have.
So tell me a little bit about how you decided that being a digital nomad was something that was for you.
Okay, well, I've got from the very beginning. Dan and I travelled in 2014. When the time came that we had to go home because we ran out of money, we decided that it wasn't the life that we wanted to live in terms of being in the UK, working in the corporate world. We started a lot of research on the internet, how to earn money online. And we came across quite a few people who had podcasts, they were bloggers. We just tuned into what they were doing, and they gave us a lot of knowledge and a lot of good support to go away with. One of the guys that we followed, his name was Johnny FD. He's been living the life and he really inspired us. He gave us a lot of options, a lot of ways that we could make some money. And then we came across Christopher Freelancer, who was amazing. Really,
you know,
we supported, and he actually introduced me to Upwork, and that's how my online career started.
Oh, isn't Upwork amazing? And that's how you and I met, isn't it?
Exactly, it is, yeah. But funny thing is, I started on Upwork in June, July time of 2016, And I no longer have to use that site anymore. I'm fully functional online myself. Like, you know, I work for Public Engineering. And I've also worked for a number of other clients just through word of mouth and also through the digital nomad community itself. So it's been really great. And I have been able to say goodbye to work, which has been amazing because I didn't want to continue a career on that site.
So what's one of the, I'm really curious, is there any, like, what are the pros and cons of being a digital nomad? And is it really just as easy as saying, you know, I'm going to go and live this life?
It can be easy if you make it to. I was very lucky. I spent 14 years in the PR industry. So I had skills that I was easily able to transfer online. So for me, it was a lot easier. However, Darren, for instance, he was working in a job. So he found it difficult to make that transition, but it's all about learning new skills. You don't have to go out there and learn them. And, you know, Darren now is building my WordPress travel blog. He never had an idea on how to do anything like that before. So it can be easy. You just got to follow people on YouTube, listen to their podcasts, and take all their advice because they're living the lifestyle already. You know, they've got that experience. They really, really to inspire you and give you so many different tools to enable you to go away and do it. The pros of it, of living a digital nomad lifestyle, is I can work and live anywhere in the world. As long as I have internet, I have a laptop, I'm able to do my job. Obviously, I get to meet people from all walks of life. I get to immerse myself into culture, try amazing food. We live a very minimalistic lifestyle. I have maybe 5 or 6 outfits in my backpack. I kind of live off the same clothes all the time. I don't carry jewellery, I don't carry makeup. The main con is family. My family are at home and I miss them. But I've got to follow my dreams and I'm so lucky that I have their support. So, you know, I speak to my dad. He's so proud of me, just having that support back home makes the transition a lot easier to see.
That's quite incredible. And I think that's something that I think would stop a lot of people is missing their family. But here's what makes your lifestyle so incredible is the technology that we have, albeit we had a few problems this morning. But, you know, never before have we been able to, I'm in Australia, you're in Thailand, we're communicating and you and I talk regularly over Facebook. We just have the capacity now, don't we, to be able to, you know, the world is smaller, I think that's what I'm saying, the world is smaller.
Yeah, exactly. It is small. And Darren and I talk about it. Now, a lot of people say, oh, well, you're so lucky to live this lifestyle. And yeah, there is an element. We are lucky to live this lifestyle, but we're living it because we made it happen. You know, it's not, you know, we didn't win the lottery, we didn't win $10,000 on a scratch card. That's luck. Yeah, we're blessed. We're very blessed and very privileged to live this life. And we like to call the world our home. You know, home in the UK will always be our home, it will always be our bread and butter. But the world is our home, and we love that. And it's strange because we seem to be, in Chiang Mai, and then we go to Pai, which is 108 kilometres north, and something to the same people. It's crazy, right? You know, for the size of the world, it really is a small world.
Yeah, it is. So how do you manage your work day as a nomad? And in Australia we have what we call grey nomads, and they're the retirees who pack up their caravan at the beginning of summer and they travel up north and go somewhere warm. And but you're not a grey nomad, you're too young to be that, which is really good. So tell me a little bit about how your work day goes. How do you balance the, you know, you've got outside a whole new culture that's at your fingertips. How do you stay motivated and keep working?
We kind of set out a rule, don't have a routine. you don't start work at a certain time of the day, you don't finish at a certain time of the day. Personally, I don't like routines. I live with an element that in life that needs to be structured. So, at the start of every week, I know what work I have. I know what my deadlines are. And I can balance and work my personal life around that. So, up a normal day, we could start work at 7 a.m. or we could start work at 9. We could even start work at 3 p.m. if we wanted to. It is hard to find the balance, it is, because there are so many distractions. There's so many networking opportunities out here. So it's just a case of, planning in your head what it is you need to do and how long this work is going to take you. And planning it out throughout the week. So, for instance, if I know I've got, I get allocated some work and I know roughly it's going to take me 20 hours, and I can plan in my head, I'm going to work 3 hours this day, I'm going to work 4 hours tomorrow, I'm going to work 8 hours just to get it out the way. I'm still trying to find that transition and the balance for that, because like I said, there's so many distractions. But, I manage it.
Do you think that it takes a special kind of person to do what you're doing, or this is an option that's available to anybody?
It's definitely an option for anybody. I don't believe the word can't. Anybody can do anything if they put their mind to it and they focus on it.
You just have to do it, don't you? Like Richard Branson says, screw it, just do it.
Exactly. You just have to take that leap of faith and believe in yourself. I can do it. And I've learned so many new skills since I've been out here. So, it's not just a case I want to spend the rest of my life in a PR industry. I want to do other things as well. I want to have income streams. And living a digital nomad lifestyle, it allows you to do that. Meeting up every day in Chiang Mai, there's networking events. And at these networking events, they have speakers who are the experts in their field. So you go along, and it really gives you free support. For instance, I watched a presentation about podcasting. It never even crossed my mind about having my own podcast show. This guy was awesome. His ambition and passion for it. It was amazing. And it's these networking events that just make you realize that, you don't just have to follow one career. You can have many careers and many streams of income, which is what took me to the Kindle publishing. I came across a guy, Adrian Ingram, 23 years old, from Melbourne, university dropout, and the guy is really killing it online. For instance, he's definitely made $13,000 for Kindle publishing. So that inspired me.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about Kindle publishing. That sounds really interesting. So you're finding niches that people, information that people want, and you're creating books around that.
That's correct. It really is a business strategy. What I would say is, for anybody that doesn't write or doesn't have experience writing, it doesn't matter. You don't need to be a content writer yourself, because you've got all these wonderful sites, for instance, Upwork, Fiverr, Reddit, but you can outsource every single process if you wanted to. So it's not just for the writing community. I come across Adrian, I watched a lot of his YouTube channels, and he has a course, and it's $97. It was extremely, it's one of the best courses I've ever done, a really good value. So I did the course, and it really is a step-by-step guide on how to take the baby step, to find your niche, go on to Amazon Kindle. And that is the most crucial thing, finding the niche. If you get the niche right, you're onto a really good book. And it is difficult. It took me about 40 hours maybe to find my first niche. So once you find the niche, then you've got your keyword research, and then either outsource the book, so you need to find a writer to do that. You need an editor, you need somebody to design your book cover, you need to hire a virtual assistant to take care of all the admin duties. And it really is a bulletproof business strategy in a nutshell. It was really worth the money. And what I found the most valuable part of buying the course was the additional support that Adrian gives afterwards. He's there to answer any questions, even to check the niches for you. I had, when I first looked for my niches, I thought I'd found five, and I said to Adrian, would you mind having a look? I don't want to run with a book that's going to be flop. And they weren't very good niches, but he explained to me why they weren't. And I was able to take that advice when I started looking for my next niche. And then in the end, I found one. And then I found the second one. Yeah, it's been a really, really good course. And I started the course, and after finishing the course, I had my first book written within a matter of weeks. It's a no-brainer.
That's amazing. You think of all those people, and I've met many of them going, oh, I'm thinking about writing a book, and you did yours in like 40 hours. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is. One of my goals this year is to find 10 other niches and publish them as well. So by the end of 2017, I hope that those 10 books will double the income that I currently have. That's my goal anyway. I'll make
that sounds like a, of course you will. That sounds like a great goal. And this is where the residual income comes in, is with the Kindle publishing, is once you've found your niche or multiple niches, because you want to have many feathers in your cap, that it then becomes, you know, people are purchasing because that's what they want to read. Have I got that right?
Yeah, exactly. Once the book's written and it's published, apart from a little tiny bit of maintenance on, you know, adapting it to words, or, you know, they really just sit there and the money flows in. So that's why it's so important to make sure that you have a really good niche, because otherwise, the book will sell when it's first published, and then you'll start to see a decrease in sales. But the idea is not to have that decrease, so making sure the niche is top, you know, not at the top. But there are other ways to making.
I'm really curious, because, you know, like I said, a lot of people say that they want to write a book. So where does your love for writing and storytelling come from? Like, is that always been something that has been important to you? I mean, you went into PR, obviously, because you love sharing people's stories. But how did you decide that that was the path you're going to go on?
Well, when I was younger, I always loved to read. And I always used to dream of writing my own novel. So as a child, I just thought what it was, just a dream. Then I got into the PR industry, and the love for writing really showed to me, you know, writing media releases, writing business strategies, writing, you know, engaging content, writing blogs. And it was just, I think it's just always been in my blood, to be honest. It's just something that kick out of it. I get a kick out of storytelling, and I also get a kick out of, you know, seeing the end result, because writing content, it's not a walk in the park. You know, there's a hell of a lot of research that has to go into it. You know, you have to have a creative mind. And I love the end result. I love being able to help the people find their voice and share their messages. And yeah, I think I think it's just something that is
It's pretty cool. It's like you and I are on the same page there, being able to take someone's story and then that turn that into something that people want to read or listen to is almost like having a superpower, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You're right. That's a really good explanation.
So how important do you, like, you know, this is the Publicity Genie show, it's all about PR, and I've got a kick-ass PR person on the line. How important do you think it is for people to embrace telling their own story? And what do you think stops people from telling their stories?
I think maybe what stops people from sharing their stories is maybe they're scared to share their story. Maybe they don't know how to share their story. Where to start, or even where to take the story, what streams, what outlets to use. And it's really important because by sharing your own story, it makes you, you know, it makes you come across as a person, like as a real human being. And I think it's really important. You know, I love to share my story, and that's why I want to write my own travel blog. It's not the reason. I'm scared to publish my first blog, and I'm scared of criticism, like people criticizing me. I think that's natural. You know, it's a natural feeling in life.
Yeah, how do you deal with that criticism? Because I know people who, you know, I've talked to about starting their own blog, and they say, oh, you know, I don't want to put myself out there because what if someone says something? So the critics and the trolls.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're always going to have haters. You can't expect an audience full of people that love you. It's just the way the world works. I published the blog on my LinkedIn account in the middle of December, and okay, the audience was for people that knew me, but I decided to share that blog with the digital nomad community. Okay, maybe in hindsight when I look back, it wasn't for that audience. I'd written it for an audience that knew me, my family, my friends, my work colleagues or ex-work colleagues. And I did get, I got some backlash for it. It really upset me, to be honest. I take things personally, always have done. But it's difficult, it really, really is difficult. Especially when it puts you down, makes you feel, you start to question your ability again.
So that would be a challenge. And how do you push through that?
From the experience when I issued my blog to the nomad community, I've decided that I'm just gonna ignore it going forward, and it's the only way I can, because if I continue to let other people's negativity drag me down, then that's exactly what it's gonna do, drag me down. So I'm just gonna ignore it. You know, there's always gonna be haters, I'm just gonna brush it off in future.
Someone wise once said to me, whether people love you or hate you has nothing to do with you. So quite often when people are being nasty, and this is what I say to people who are doing their own PR, is that it's got nothing to do with you. It has to do with the person reading it. And if you stop yourself from sharing, then there are a whole heap of other people out there who would never say anything horrible to anyone who are going to miss out on the gold that you have to offer.
Yeah, and I totally agree. You know, I was brought up on the family. It's nice to be nice to people. So if you haven't got anything nice to say, then it's best to keep yourself. And I live my life like that.
Well, yeah, you have to, don't you? I mean, it's if you let everything that people say to you affect you and what it is that you do in your life, none of us would do anything.
Exactly. And, you know, and don't let other people be the reason for your failure or for you holding yourself back, because at the end of the day, I know I'm good at what I do. You know, I wouldn't have the experience. I wouldn't work for amazing companies. I wouldn't be able to launch a freelance career, you know. So I know that I'm good at what I do. And why somebody who doesn't know me, who never even met me, should be able to put a negative impact on that and make me feel unworthy. But I think it's natural to feel like that, you know. We're human beings, we have feelings, and you know, when somebody lashes out to you like that, it is difficult, but you just, like I said, you've just got to brush it off.
Got to brush it off. No, it's really good advice, and I think for anybody who's looking at sharing their story, that's great. Just brush it off, keep moving forward, because what you're doing will help somebody. And if you're not saying it, then you can't help anybody.
Exactly. Be the total opposite to those people out there in the world. And I do see quite a lot of it, especially on social media. Social media is really a terrible, terrible tool in that respect. You know, there was a girl the other day who posted a blog, and everything, the amount of people that attacked her, I felt so sorry for her. You know, I don't think she was upset over it, but, you know, it was the same story as I have. I am afraid to publish that first blog. I'm afraid of the criticism. But I know once I make that, once I publish that first blog on my website, then that will give me the confidence to continue. But for people to personally attack somebody and sit down all their hard work, it's horrible, it really is.
I guess it's really important in business, regardless of what it is that you do, that you've got champions, people who support you. So who are the people who are your cheer squad that help you move forward?
My husband, he's my number one fan. You know, and there are times where I do lack that belief in myself. But again, like I said, we're humans, it's natural. But I do believe in my ability. But if it wasn't for him pushing me, you know, being my number one fan, encouraging me, telling me I can do it, picking me up, I've got him to thank for that. So, you know, in return, I'm now supporting him and his career and pushing him when he's got that element of self-doubt too. And we make a great partnership. My dad as well, he's super proud of me. I think he's listening now, so hi, Dad. And, he's so proud of me. He cries out because he's bursting with pride. And, you know, to have that support and those people backing you, it's really all you need. And I have you as a fan too, Annette. So, you know, you're always telling me how great I am and, you know, you love my work. And, you know, that's all I need. That's all I need. I just need people in my corner.
Hey, darling, I'm only telling the truth. Hey, we kind of touched on your transition from the corporate world to living your dream lifestyle, but we really didn't go into detail. And I think for our listeners, like even if they're looking at transitioning out of what they're doing and chasing their dream, or even making some changes in their business, I reckon they'd really like to know, like, How do you make that decision? How do you know it's the right one for you?
I think you just got to follow your dreams. And that's exactly what I did. I had a dream to travel. Like I said, I traveled in 2014. And I had that, you know, it caught me. I got the bug for it. And, you know, I knew that to be able to continue to live that dream of travel, that I had to make that transition online. So just my advice to everybody is just follow your dream. It doesn't matter what it is, follow it, because it really does make you happy inside. It really does. You know, we can all enjoy the job that we do in the corporate world. I've really enjoyed working with the people. But for me, it's just what you are. I wasn't following my dream, I wasn't following my passion, and I had to do that. And that's been the most, you know, the most important thing for us, for myself. So yeah, you've just got to do it. Take away any self-doubt and just go with it.
So how many, if you look back at the decision and when you started to tell people about it, how many people went, oh my God, that's a great idea? Or how many went, are you sure this is the right thing to do?
I had a lot of people say to me, well, for instance, my mum, she couldn't grasp why I wanted to do it. You know, she even said to me, right, I just want you to settle down, I want you to have kids, and I want to buy a house. And I said, why? Because society dictates that I should. I don't want to do any of those things. I'm like, want to buy a house. Maybe in the future, maybe I will. But at the moment, I want to live the life that I choose to live, and that's exactly what I'm doing.
When you say it's life-changing, the transformation that you've been through, what does that mean? How do you get a new lease on life by making decisions like this?
Control of your own life, aren't you? You know, back home, you know, like I said, you live a life that society dictates. So, sorry, I'm just moving my microphone. Oh, yeah, you're just going to make, you know, sorry, can you repeat that question? I kind of lost my thought then.
No, that's okay. And I don't think it matters what decision that you make, but you've said to me that your decision to leave corporate and go on your dream journey was transformational, that it was life-changing, and you've been given a new lease on life. So I'd love to know what that looked like for you. You know, when you look back at your life 6 months ago to where it is now, how has your life changed? What does that mean for you?
For me, it means, you know, I can live a life and be a free soul. I've got free movement. You know, I'm not bound to paying bills and, you know, a routine life, getting up in the morning to go to work and coming home, making my dinner, meeting with your family and friends. And it's the routine, it's, you know, it's so repetitive back home. It's just what it's for me. Out here, I really am I'm free to make my own decisions, I do what I want, I work whatever hours I want to. And for me, you know, it has been my dream. I'm living my dream. And for me, it's been satisfying. Really humbling experience, you know, an eye-opening experience too, because, you know, you get to see what people and how the people in the world are living. It also makes you realise how much you take for granted when you're back home.
Yeah, good on you. I think that's amazing. And I think for anybody listening, hopefully there's a lot of people listening, is that you... that there is no right or wrong time, Rebecca, is there, to make these decisions. And even if we bring it back to business and starting your PR journey or your business journey, is that you just have to do it, don't you?
Yes, you do. You just, you know, get rid of the what ifs or the buts or the can't, because they're the only words that are going to hold you back. You know, take that leap. And just do it and roll with it. And make things happen. Yes, roll with it. Make it happen. Destiny's in your own hands at the end of the day. And, you know, your success is up to you and how successful you can be. And don't get me wrong, you know, I am living the dream. But because I want, you know, because I've got client work and my Kindle publishing side of things, you know, my travel blog, it really is. You know, I'm still working hard. I'm still working. I'm still putting in the hours. I'm not off gallivanting every day. You know, I'm pretty much, you know, working the week. But I just have such amazing opportunity and such amazing experiences around me. And that itself is priceless.
Do you think that there's a book in your journey of being a digital nomad?
A book? Yeah, 100%.
Yes.
Definitely. I do want to write and publish people's biographies of my life. Because I have traveled all over the world, you know, I've visited 20 countries, over 5 continents, I've, you know, seen 5 wonders of the world. But I've also had quite a colourful life. You know, I've always been a person who lived my life to the full, even when I lived back in the UK. You know, go to festivals, I would go skydive, bungee jump, snowboarding, because they're all things that I enjoy to do. And I just think, you know, there's definitely a book there. When? I don't know then.
Well, you've got all this work to do. You won't have time. What do you think is the most... Sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry, I was just saying that, you know, I put myself under a lot of pressure out here because it's just hoping for that success. And growing more than built in a day, nothing's ever happened to me, you have to work for it, and that's exactly what I'm doing.
So, how long have you been where you are now? It's 8 weeks?
we filmed the Bangkok on the 10th of November, spent 4 nights there, and then headed straight to Chiang Mai. Because like I said, this is where the digital nomads is a really, really good community, and there's a hell of a lot of people there. And also, I want to meet the people that I've been watching on YouTube, the likes of Johnny S.D. and Travel Like a Boss podcast, Adrian Ingram, who I bought the course from on Kindle Publishing, and Chris the Freelancer, introduced me to what works. I want to come meet these people. These people inspired me to make this journey. They inspired me to just go with it. It's been really, really good.
Did you ever see yourself as a person that would do this? You know, like if you look back 10 years ago and, you know, the Rebecca of 10 years ago, did you see this as your part of your path, or it's something that has come through personal development and the investment that you've made in yourself?
Yeah, definitely. 10 years ago, I wouldn't have said I was in this situation. My dream when I was in the UK a few years ago was to set up my APR agency, so with the publicity genius. So I decided I didn't want to do it in the end because of the love of, you know, travel and working online, you know, came into my life. I definitely didn't envisage me living like that. And I don't think a lot of people back home did either. You know, I've always been career-minded. I've always, you know, invested in myself, personal studies, my degree, you know, and even if it was 3 years ago, I was studying diplomas in public relations and public affairs, and just really wanted to enhance my skills and give myself the best opportunity going forward. And that's exactly what I've done, because with everything that, you know, all the hard work and all the personal studies, why I'm here today, because I enabled myself with the skill set to do so.
And how important is it, do you think, to keep investing in yourself?
Oh, extremely. Yeah, you've always got to invest in yourself. Invest in your time, invest money in yourself. Because nobody else is going to do it for you. And if you want to go places and you want success, and you can't do it still, because it's not going to happen for you. So, yeah, you have to. You have to invest in yourself. You also have to believe that, you know, it's worth investing in that. But also see what to keep from the bigger picture. If I do this, what could the results be? And then how could I use that to my advantage to make me even more successful? And that's exactly what I've been doing, thinking outside of the box and thinking of the big picture. Yeah, I might be working hard right now, but in 10 years' time, maybe I don't have to work so hard because I've got so many different income streams coming in. You know, I can rely on that. So, you know, you've got to.
So, as a PR person, how do you promote yourself? What do you? You're in a new country, in a new city. You know no one. You're building multiple business streams. Yeah, what do you do to put yourself out there? We need some inside tips for our listeners.
Okay. What I do is I'm a part of many groups on Facebook, the digital nomad community. What I did was I reached out, and I actually did the same thing that you taught me. Yeah, you posted something on video, a live video about delayed gratification, and it inspired me. You know, you said in that message, don't be afraid to reach out and put yourself out there. And in the end, you know, you've got clients on. And it encouraged me. I was like, wow, yeah, this is an awesome idea. So to promote myself and to show people who I am, I've got a post in some of the groups. Hey, I'm a writer. Anybody have any questions or any advice and tips on, you know, writing or how to write a blog, etc. Get in contact with me. No cost, just friendship. And the amount of people that got in contact with me was overwhelming, to be honest. But I've been able to help people. And by helping people has increased my, you know, my online presence. People now know me. But people also know me for the right reasons, because of my kind, genuine heart. We also have a group called Informal E-Commerce Chiang Mai, and it's a meetup every Wednesday at 3 o'clock. We meet up and really nice meeting. People can come along, they can chat with their dog, their mum, their dad. It really is informal. And we're getting every week we see new faces, every week we see the numbers increase. And it was actually originally an Asian England event. However, he's returned to Melbourne now. So we've kind of, you know, took an asterisk form. And, you know, this is where collaboration works, because we collaborate together. Now our group daily is growing. We've got over 500 members, and we can't believe it. 500 members join the group, so that, you know, and we get such great feedback. The content that you're posting and sharing is of value. You know, we love what we're doing with the group. And that in itself is building both Dan, mine, and Adrian's, you know, our presence and our reputation too. So it's been great.
Wow, that's incredible. So your key tip there is put yourself out there.
Yeah, don't be afraid to do it either. Just put yourself out there. You know, if you've got skills and you've got the knowledge and experience, share it with people. And share it for free, because you don't, you know, you just give your heart to people. And that's exactly how I live my life. You know, I believe that helping people is one of the best gifts in life. And that's actually what I get in return, to make a difference. Even if it's a small difference, because helping people is a major difference. Helping them with their writing. And, you know, I've got a client in business, and he focused on his business as well, the digital room as a community, and offering cheaper, affordable accommodation. And my job for him is for like 4 blocks a month. It's great, because things combine my passion for writing, my passion for travel into one. So, yeah, put yourself out there. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Just do it. Go out, help people, and the way it needs to be, the fulfillment I get from helping people, I can't buy that. I really can't.
So, Rebecca, we're at the end of the show, and I reckon that we could keep going. If people want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Rebecca McGregor, or on Facebook, I am Becca McGregor. If anybody's interested in you know, having a look at the books that I'm publishing, or if they want to connect with my travel blog, which should be live in a couple of weeks, and, you know, just reach out to me and I'll share that information. And also, you know, if anybody's interested in, you know, the Kindle publishing side of things, you know, contact Adrian Ingram and get in contact with him and get a call to me, because it really is it's a fantastic business strategy.
Rebecca, thank you so much for joining me today. And I know we had a few hiccups, but we got there in the end.
Hey.
I will share Rebecca's travel blog on the Publicity Genie Facebook page, and we'll whack it on the Publicity Genie website so you can keep up with Rebecca, because she is part of the Publicity Genie team. Rebecca, thank you. You're awesome. And I'm glad that we could share your story with a whole lot more people.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. It's really great.
You're welcome. Until next time, we'll see you episode 6. Have a great day.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.